You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man on Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
Rob Parker here for Southern Nosh Vegetarian Soul Cafe. Hey, Mark, let me tell you, they're reinventing soul food in great-tasting superfoods with no meat in the mix. Power up on Southern-style veggie proteins, savory sides, and smoothies made fresh and fast.
Ooh.
You could either dine in or carry out. Go meatless at Southern Nosh Vegetarian Soul Cafe. It's located right there on Northwestern Highway, north of 12 Mile in the Sunset Strip. It's presented by Beans and Cornbread, my boy down there, Patrick, who runs the place. Try Southern Nosh today. Pick up the phone, call 248-352-1682. That's 248-352-1682. Hey, Mark.
I'm so hungry now. Yes.
Go get noshed. All right, now it's time for a sports wrap. His name, the man, Mark Wilson. But first, let's get you caught up. And it is sponsored by Sporty Cuts. For the best haircuts in Detroit, go to 7 Mile an Hour Drive.
Everybody's off on this Monday. Tigers are out west. Interleague Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers starts tomorrow. Magic Johnson will be there because he owns them. Wings will be in Buffalo. Oh, they'll have Buffalo Wings. They didn't even hit it till now. We haven't had to do that much because they were always in the west. We didn't say that often. Wings will be in Buffalo on Tuesday while the Pistons are down in Atlanta just finishing the damn season already. Local scores first. Sports Night with Parker the Man presented by Sporty Cuts. College basketball national championship. You know it. You love it. You can't live without it. 8th seed Kentucky, 7th seed UConn. We're talking about it right now at 248-848-1130. That game goes in exactly 1 hour. From right now, 1 hour. Attention, attention. 1 hour to go till men's national championship night. Tomorrow, Gino Auriemma and the UConn women go for another championship. It would be his 9th and I believe 8th in 16 years.
In the real world, how many championships does he have?
Zero.
Of zero.
Versus Phil. Oh, Rob, to the day you die, huh? You're going to be campaigning against that. Fellow unbeaten Notre Dame, both teams unbeaten. No games in the NBA as usual on college basketball championship night. NHL Monday, no score, second period. The Flames and the Devils in Jersey. Minnesota, Winnipeg just getting started out in Manitoba. And tonight, the Ducks and the Canucks. Ducks and Canucks at 10 p.m. in Vancouver. Baseball today, American League, Yankees over the Orioles, 4-2. Derek Jeter's final New York home opener, and the Yankees win it for him. Angels over the Astros, 9-1. C.J. Wilson, a four-hitter. Scott Kazmir, 2-0 as the A's beat the Twins in Minnesota, 8-3. Red Sox lead the Rangers now, 1-0 third. No score early, Rays and Royals. National League, Cardinals over the Reds, 5-3. Brewers, Phillies postpone rain. Makeup is tomorrow already. They'll do a day-night doubleheader, a split. A couple of interleague games. Padres, Indians postpone rain. White Sox and Rockies go in about 35 minutes. Practice rounds at Augusta get underway early tomorrow. The Masters begins on Thursday. NASCAR at the Texas Speedway. Duck Commander 500 postponed until today. Fine, Quack. Fine, Becky Quack. Dale Jr. Crash Lap 13. That was the big excitement. It's the first time in 7 years that Earnhardt has finished in dead last in 43rd. Joey Logano became the seventh different winner in 7 races so far. Logano passed Jeff Gordon today on the final lap to win the Duck Commander. Quack. 500. Logano's fourth Sprint Cup victory in his career. Darlington is next on Saturday night. And that is your sports wrap brought to you by, presented to you by, if you will, Sporty Cuts. Coming up, you want to do some Final Four stuff now. Did you have anything left with the Tigers you wanted to clear out?
No, I mean, that was good. We're good. Let's move on to the Final Four.
I mean, the Dodgers are, they beat San Francisco. You watched the game last night, 6-2. Two homers each for Hanley Ramirez and for Matt Kemp.
Hey, you know what? Welcome back to the Major League. Seriously, I tweeted last night about it because, Mark, baseball missed him. I mean, he's a big-time player.
Matt Kemp?
He's been hurt. I mean, he's a draw. He's a big-time. What do you do there in L.A. now? You got four outfielders.
Well, Yasiel Puig was out. I don't know if you saw the play. He actually tried to slide into first. He busted up his thumb. This is a day after he was benched anyhow for missing a meeting or getting late or something. So, I mean, look, Mattingly still has his issues. Puig is still doing his thing. He's supposedly gotten over the speeding thing.
They need to get over and let that guy play. I'm now on Puig's side. I think they're nitpicking everything.
Well, he was playing until he busted up his thumb.
So what would you do? I mean, you got four outfielders. You're not going to get rid of. You want Kemp? Who do you get rid of?
Well, you're not going. Puig's not going anywhere. Matt Kemp, for the moment, is not going anywhere.
So it's Ethier.
Ethier has been in discussions for 3 years. So Ethier would be a component to trade, especially if this, you know, Clayton Kershaw thing, if this becomes an issue, God forbid.
I know. Well, the back.
It's the back.
You hate. How long?
You can fix the arm. Well, Rob, I mean, Kershaw's being very hush-hush about what really is wrong with him. I mean, there's a lot of money invested in Clayton Kershaw now.
Trust me, they have insurance, but still.
We need to go to Matt Stafford and say, hey, what's wrong with your best buddy, man?
No, Mark, you don't think they have insurance? They have insurance.
Well, I don't care about the money part.
Right.
The part is that you were counting on Clayton Kershaw to be the face, the Koufax of the franchise for the next 10, 15 years.
No doubt about it.
So, I mean, just I'm saying, if the Dodgers and Magic and those guys think that there's something to gain here, you have to be prepared to use a piece of your team to get you another player. And I think Andre Ethier probably is that guy right now. Puig, you're not trading.
I wouldn't trade Puig. And you know what? Matt Kemp has such a big contract. I don't even know if you would be able to trade him because there's still more years, and he's had his own injury problems, you know?
I hear you. So it'll be interesting to see Max Scherzer bat again. And he's got to be the guy to start doing this now. Interleague play starts early. As I mentioned, he's 1-for-11 hitting as a Tiger. He had .226. He went 12-for-53 in the year, the big year he had for the Diamondbacks. And Dan Heron is a very good hitter already. So you already know that going in. He's hit home runs in the majors, Cubs and otherwise. So that's that'll starts at 10-10 tomorrow night. That's when the Tigers start with the Dodgers. I'll tell you what, we'll do the Final Four coming up. 248-848-1130, I mean national championship tonight. Kentucky and UConn. Before we do that,
and also
Rob,
I would like to know where people stand, Mark. Who do you got and why? You know, give me like
no,
the winner
really
and why. I want to know.
There's really two schools of thought. If you're not a Kentucky, if you're not Ashley Judd, who loves the Kentucky Wildcats, or if you're not anybody up in UConn.
I'm torn. I told you, I'm torn. I like those five freshmen. And
well, there's
one reason why
I like the team I like.
Okay.
And because it was part of our podcast, and you know what I'm talking about. I made a big deal about it in November, and I'm going to stick with that because that's the only good thing I've done in college hoop all year in terms of predicting anything. But first, Rob Parker, brought to you by Comerica Bank on this day in 1984. Rob, you're going to like this. I want you to listen up, okay? Listen up, fella, because you're not going to want to miss this. Gary, make sure the audio is up for this because this is very special. Again, this is on this day in 1984 as we track the Tigers and their 30th anniversary since that magical year of the World Series championship, brought as always by Comerica Bank. Famous day in Tiger lore because on April 7th, 1984, Jack Morris did something no Tiger pitcher had done since Jim Bunning in 1958. Tigers were in Chicago. They were started a 3-0 record to begin the season. It was a Saturday. It was the NBC game of the week. Vin Scully was doing the television broadcast. Detroit was up 4-0 against Floyd Bannister. Chet Lemon drove in two with a double. Gibson and Whitaker had the other RBI. Rod Allen was the DH that day. Unfortunately, Rod went 0-for-3. Morris walked six White Sox. Walked six. So no perfect game. But by the ninth, he had still allowed no hits. Here's Ernie Harwell, the legendary Ernie, the late great Ernie, on WJR 30 years ago today with the call of Morris's last victim, Ron Kittle. And notice this, how Ernie is not shy at all about telling you that the cat, Mr. Morris, had a no-hitter going with two outs of the night.
Because he's a real broadcaster.
They don't do it like they did now, where they would try to pretend like you didn't know that there was a no-hitter going with two outs in the ninth.
And now it's Ron Kittle, the Rookie of the Year, coming to bat. And we'll have a runner at first base for Lisinski. Stegman, the former Tiger. Dave Stegman, a one-time Tiger, is the runner at first base. Two down in the ninth inning. Jack Morris, one out away from no-hit fame. Kittle has gone 0-for-3 this afternoon. He's hit the first pitch 2 out of 3 times. And he takes in tight for a ball. Ball one. In the second inning, he hit the first pitch and popped to second base. He struck out in the fourth inning. He went for the first pitch and flied to Gibson in right in the seventh. Big lead for Stegman. They're not bothering about him. The pitch to Kittle. Swing and a miss on a changeup. 1-1, the count on him. 4-0, Tigers lead. It is a no-hit bid for Morris. He has one to go in the ninth inning. And the White Sox fans are still on their feet here at this old ballpark. Outfield, deep to left on Kittle. The 1-1 delivery on the way. Kittle swings and beats a ground foul down past third. One ball, two strikes. Morris ahead of the hitter. Stegman back to first base. Bergman playing very wide of the bag on him. Tug of the cap by Morris. Working up the set position now. He goes to his set. Kittle waits. Here it comes. He struck him out, and Morris has a no-hitter. Lance Parrish goes out and grabs him, and the Tigers get a no-hit performance for the first time since 1958 when Jim Bunning did it. Jack Morris, the no-hit hero, surrounded by his teammates in the ninth inning, Chicago. No runs, no hits, no errors, one man left, and the final score, Detroit 4, Chicago nothing.
So there it is from WJR 30 years ago today, Ernie Harwell and Rob Parker.
Missed that man right there.
Don't you, though?
Missed that man.
Big time. Kittle was Morris's eighth strikeout. Jack went to 2-0 on the season. Tigers were 4-0 at that time, and since then, only Justin Verlander has thrown a no-hitter, two of them, of course, as a Tiger. But Jack Morris was a big deal 30 years ago today on Detroit's march to the World Series. And as always, it's brought to you all season long by the good folks at Comerica Bank. You know, the one thing I just, before we hit the thing here, Gary, is there were 24,616 at Comiskey that day. Jerry Hairston played in that game, and the year before, it was Hairston who broke up Milt Wilcox's in 83, his perfect game with two outs in the ninth. And Hairston was part of that no-hitter the following year when Jack did it. So there you go. That was one of the famous moments of that 84 season was Jack's no-hitter on April 7th, 1984. 248-848-1130. What you got cooking for Kentucky and UConn? Next, Parker the Man doing a little Final Four National Championship business. Bidding it.
I got my pick.
Becky, you got your pick?
Everybody's got their pick. What's your pick? 248-848-1130.
What's your pick? Sports Night with Parker the Man.
It wasn't a pick. It was a flick.
Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man. Parker and the Man. On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Uncle Sam doesn't like to hear that.
Aunt Dorothy doesn't enjoy saying it.
Almost halfway through this Monday program, Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Don't forget, we stream. You can watch it. ParkerandTheMan.com, PremierSportsTalkNetwork.com, all part of the video streaming minions, and there they are right there. I see a hand and Sarah. That's all I see over there. Becky is hanging out with us, and she's taking selfies.
Are you, Becky?
Like David Ortiz did with Obama at the White House.
Yeah, well, he just probably put the kibosh on everybody else's selfie. You know that.
And everybody's fun because that
the president's not happy.
They did a promotional thing for Samsung with Obama.
They shouldn't have done that.
It was like the Academy Awards when they did the same thing, when Ellen DeGeneres did that with Kevin Spacey and Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts and the rest of that. That was all a Samsung promotional thing. It's one thing to do it at the Oscars.
But when the president's involved in an ad, Mark, I don't even know how'd they sign off on that?
Who?
How'd they use that in an ad?
Well, the White House is not happy. I don't know. They didn't sign off on anything.
No, I know, but I'm saying, why can't he go after them?
I guess you can. I guess you take a chance.
I don't care if Big Poppy has a whatchacallit.
If I'm Samsung, you know what? You pushed it, man. You pushed it. You finally found the line in the sand for your, you know, next Galaxy 5 or Galaxy 6.
And maybe marked by law because it was done. He had the right. It was his picture. Do you know what I mean? Like the president didn't sign something beforehand.
Well, it's not like they're going to sue Ortiz or the Red Sox. That would be terrible pub.
No, I know, but it's still wrong.
Just don't ever see that happening again. You got one chance to make that mistake.
248-848-1130. Okay, here's my dilemma. Are we ready for this NCAA?
I can't wait.
Okay, I'm going to. I would love Kevin Ollie to win. I think it's a great story. UConn comes out of nowhere, right? I know, Mark, they at one point had some terrible losses this season. But I'm going to pick Kentucky, and I'm going to pick Kentucky for a couple reasons. First of all, I like that kid, what is it, Harrison?
Aaron, the two Harrison kids.
But the kid, Aaron Harrison, was made like three unbelievable.
Three in a row.
Big shots to win games. I'm so impressed by that kid. I just am. And he's got that postseason tournament magic going. Number two, I'm not a big John Calipari fan. I don't think he's some great coach. He's a great recruiter. And I love that he's beating these other college coaches by doing his own thing. Come to Kentucky, be one and done. Thank you. I'll use your service for 1 year. And then you go ahead, Mark, and make some loot. I'm not asking you to stay 4 years here and do anything. I'm getting paid a lot of money. You're not getting anything. So if you can come here, play 1 year, make a name for yourself, win a championship or whatever, and get a job in the NBA, making loot, all for it. And you know what? The other coaches, they will continue to lose to this guy until they either get with the program. And you even see Coach K, Mark, Austin Rivers, stayed there one and he was out. And now other guys, he's getting other players to do the one and done. What did I always say about Tom Izzo? It's not that Tom Izzo can't coach, Mark. I never said that, have I? He refused, and he did go after Jabari Parker. I'll give him credit. He didn't get him.
Randolph was one and out.
But he was mad when Zach went, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was mad at Richardson, and he was mad at
It wasn't
at
a popular theme yet back when. I mean, Zach's been in the league already, can't believe it, 13 years.
Right, but at the time, Izzo ripped him. You're not ready. You don't.
He would not do that again, but you're right. That was a mistake.
Okay, that was a mistake. Zach Randolph, Mark, has made, what, over $100 million in the NBA?
Yeah.
He's been paid. Izzo was totally wrong. And my point is, I want Kentucky to win. I want them to continue to make a mockery of the league, where the college basketball, where people are sticking around and they want to try to make people stay. No, come play your 1 year and go get paid. Coaches are making a mint. NCAA has a $6 billion contract in their back pocket. It's more about the mockery of college basketball. And look at the teams that win.
Well, I know you like that kind of thing.
I love it.
Your kind of thing. You dig that. That's your wheelhouse. I get that. He loves when there's some kind of thing. Now, before you put Calipari in the house of the, you know, integrity of all hell.
I'm not saying it's integrity. I just think it's right.
Don't forget, his first two Final Fours were wiped out by NCAA violations.
That's fine.
The two first.
Well, I'm not saying that he should cheat. I'm saying what he does for players and stop playing the game.
He also did come out and say he preferred if they would stay more than one. I think that was just glad handing.
Sure, he would.
I think it was a wink.
Sure he would.
Oh, yeah, I'll say that corporate speak. Yeah, I wish.
That's not what he tells him when he recruits him,
right.
Mark. That's not what he tells
him. I wish Julius Randle would just stay a year and do the eye thing. You know, like Dangerfield did at Caddyshack. Hey, keep it fair.
Ask me if these kids, if they win a national championship tonight, should they stay?
Oh, should those?
Ask me.
Should Julius Randle and the Harrison stick around for another year, Rob Parker?
Not good year.
Well, look, I had to battle between the fact that I think 10 different times I tweeted this on the Twitter machine.
Is that what it's called?
It's called the Twitter.
Now you're sounding old.
The Twitter machine. I love doing that, though. Shabazz Napier, he can play for me any day. Any day that kid from UConn can be my point guard, two guard, I don't care. He can run Bulls in Pamplona for all I care. That guy can play for me any day. And that's why I had the luxury and pleasure of watching a lot of AAU basketball this year, that new American Athletic Conference, because we carried it the other place. So I saw a lot of it. I heard a lot of their games. I heard the UConn blowout from Louisville, but I got to hear them play against SMU and Houston and Rutgers and, of course, it's coming to the Big Ten. They still went 31-8. I mean, it's not like they didn't do anything. Kentucky's 29-10. Now, Rob and I were doing the podcast when number one in the country, Kentucky, not like they came out of nowhere. They were number one to start the season. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, but they underperformed, and now they got their wheels going. They got everything going now.
But Michigan State beat them when they were number two. That's how MSU got to number one this year. That was November 12th at the United Center in Chicago. And on the podcast, I said, you know what, though, Rob? Kentucky, by the time we hit March, is going to be an absolute beast. Do you remember me saying that?
I don't remember you saying that, but you know what?
Go listen to it. Still go to our website and hear me say it after that game. That I really thought what I saw to the Harrisons then, I mean, these guys were two games into college life. And Julius Randle and company, I said that team is going to be a monster come March. And sure enough, all they've done, and I'm no prognosticator, believe me, I'll show you how I can prove that to you. Look at this piece of garbage. In fact, I'm so convinced this is a piece of garbage, I am now going to ceremoniously rip it up. I'm ripping up my bracket. There you go. Sarah, I'll autograph it for you later, and you can take the pieces to your people and sell it on eBay. That's how much my bracket sucked, and I didn't know anything. But I will tell you this. I think even the common person who just watches basketball on a semi-regular basis could have seen what you saw to Kentucky and why people back in October, November, thought this was the number one team in the country, Calipari or not. And so all they're doing is proving to me what I thought might happen in November. And sure enough, here they are with 10 losses and an 8 seed. Way too low a seed for Kentucky. And don't forget, these two teams weren't even in the tournament last year. UConn because of violations and Kentucky because they stunk. And here they both are in the championship game. So don't ever tell me how, Rob, you hit the nail on the head. And I hate to say that, but you did. This is what young people, freshman players, can do in a short period of time. You don't have to, hey, Northwestern, you know how you've never been to the tournament? In 100 years of basketball, you've never gone. And you blame it on this, you blame it on that, you fire a coach, you bring in another guy, Chris Collins, or no. And granted, Kentucky's got the chops, and UConn's got the chops, and it's not Northwestern. But it doesn't take forever. If you get the right players, you can do this in a year. Doesn't take a ton of recruiting. Go out, get the guys, and in a year's time, you can go from no tournament to both being in the championship game, not just making the tournament.
I agree.
So having said that, I'm going to stick with my thing and take Kentucky over UConn as much as I would love the Kevin Ollie thing. I would love that guy to say I told you so to about a good 200 donors up there in stores.
EP, what you got? I'm looking at you. Tonight, UConn, of course, because of his dad.
Is your dad a UConn store Connecticut guy?
Well, that
makes sense. 248-848-1130. Who's with me on Kentucky? And Rob's going with Kevin Ollie and UConn, although, again, I'm doing this.
No. I'm going with Kentucky.
That's right, you're saying Kentucky, even though you, like me.
I like Kevin Ollie. I would like to see him win.
If he did, it still wouldn't be the worst story.
EP's dad is texting me. Like, we just bet lunch. He just gave me a text. Your dad texted me, and we just bet lunch because he's from Connecticut originally, so he's all about it.
So there you go. Julius Randle had 27 in that game against Michigan State. He's about to play in the national championship game, and I still think if you go back to November, you can see the writing on the wall there. You can see at least it kind of happening. 248-848-1130. We're halfway through. Got a sports wrap next. Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Back on the Fan.
Hey, this is Joe Dumars, and you're listening to Detroit's Late Night Talk King.
Yankees win!
Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Rob and Mark do it right.